Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Friday, everybody. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell.
What's going on, everybody? Happy Friday. End of another rigorous work week. I wouldn't know because I've been off, but you know.
I say you wouldn't know about that. Rub it in, why don't you?
Yeah, I feel bad for the people who have to, work. Oh, it's nice being able to be off.
Must be nice.
Well, a broken foot will do that to you. So, I know I'm tired of hearing about the foot too.
Oh, I bet as we all are.
Yes.
No. Hey, you still seem to be hobbling around pretty fine though these days.
Yeah. I'm wearing the boot. I'm supposed to be wearing using crutches, and they're in the car, and I will use them, Doctor. If you're listening to the show,
hopefully absolutely. Your doctor doesn't listen to the show.
I think I know how he broke his foot.
I think we've gotten to the bottom of this problem. So, this I found kind of interesting today. Apparently, somehow, despite the fact that it seems like we have this conversation every offseason with Michigan football coach Jim Harbaugh.
Sure.
Apparently, there's yet more talk about yet another new contract. Dude signed through 2026 as it is. But apparently, Athletic Director Ward Manuel said Thursday that he and Harbaugh are working on a new deal. He just signed an extension that made him one of the highest paid coaches in the sport.
I mean, unless they're trying to negotiate him a lower number, I mean,
I doubt they're doing that.
They rarely ever do that. Michigan, they got some problems. They got a lot of guys going to go to the draft. it's not going to be the team that you had on the field last season. So, I mean,
I don't know, though. Like, it seems like anymore, if the last season or two have been any indication, the road to the Big Ten title now definitely rolls through Ann Arbor.
Yeah.
More so than it does Columbus at this point.
I don't know. I mean, the Wolverines did a great job last season. They really, truly did. But they're going to be losing some players. And it's, I think it's a little premature to be signing him to an extension two seasons before. Before his three seasons, before this one even runs out. I mean, what are they worried about?
They're probably worried about him once again threatening to leave and take an NFL gig. Because just because he says in any given year that he's not going to, doesn't mean by any means that he's not going to keep looking and keep hinting around it.
Right.
That just seems to be how this goes. But he's in the second year of a five-year deal. Why are we even talking about another deal this soon, this early on? Like, is this really where we're at, or is this just a thing that's unique to Michigan football? The idea that every single season, every offseason, we're renegotiating the contract that he's still currently under for multiple more years.
It doesn't make any sense. There must be something going on that we don't know about. Maybe it's him. Maybe he has a target date of when he's going to retire. He said, listen, I'm good until 2030, and then that's it. I'm not coaching anymore. If you want to keep me here until then, we're gonna have to get a deal done. So I have that. What I'm looking for? Guarantee, I guess. But I mean, coaches can still get fired.
Sure. No. Absolutely. And it sounds like, because you remember he'd taken an interview this offseason with somebody, I think it wasn't it the Colts or something, that
yes.
had expressed interest in him?
Yep.
And, well, it seemed like he's going to end up getting what he wants out of that deal yet again. More name, image, likeness money. His assistants are getting more money. And, well, it looks like he's going to be getting yet another extension, getting more leverage here, really.
It sounds like it's all coming from Harbaugh's camp, because I can't imagine the AD for Michigan.
AD from Michigan, though, I mean, he doesn't seem to have that much control over his over the kingdom by any means.
Right.
Like, he just kind of does, like, Jim Harbaugh just does whatever he kind of wants to, and Ward Manuel doesn't, I don't know, really has the authority to do anything about it. Because you remember, last time we had some issue like this, the president of the school had stepped in and basically made it clear that he's full-on Team Harbaugh.
Right. Well,
but if they're going to do this, though, I mean, the expectation going forward then has to be, at a minimum, you're winning the Big Ten, and at a minimum, it has to be that you're contending for a playoff spot, a especially now when the a couple years away from an expansion to 12-team playoff. Yep. Like, making the playoff at that point is going to have to be, like, that's the expectation now at a minimum.
Well, it will be interesting. Do you think he gets it?
Oh, I do. I absolutely do. They're going to capitulate. They're going to do whatever Captain Khaki Pants wants, Captain Khaki Pants gets. That's just how this goes.
Stay away from my Harbaugh.
And looking into when the 12-team playoff actually starts in 2026.
Oh, I feel like,
so you've got a couple years before that really gets to be a thing, but I feel like being in contention still has to be a thing. Like, once that happens, like, if you're not in the playoff every year, you're not going to be making that kind of money for very long.
No.
So at that point, there's no reason for you not to be, especially because it looks like Ohio State's kind of maybe a little bit on the way down. It certainly seems that way.
Oh, I don't know.
Like Ryan Day's not, there certainly seem to be some weak points in the armor, that's for sure. It's especially now C.J. Stroud's leaving. We don't really know who's going to be under center for the Buckeyes next season. And I don't exactly see right now them being equipped to challenge a seemingly resurgent Wolverines team. We'll see if I'm right about this.
Right.
But I'm honestly not convinced that Ohio State is this insurmountable opponent that they have been for really both Michigan teams for several years past. Like, your time is pretty much now if you're a Wolverines fan. We're at the point, I truly believe, that this thing's going to go through Ann Arbor every year, the Big Ten. They're the new...
the new Ohio State?
Yeah, until proven otherwise. Honestly, they kind of are. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there, but I imagine they're going to get a deal done in fairly short order because, you know, even if it didn't make sense for Michigan to do it, whatever Harbaugh wants, he gets, ultimately.
Right. Yeah.
We'll hit a break right here. We'll come back. It is happy hour. Plenty of stuff to do today, so stick around. It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell, hanging out with us. America's favorite Lapeer Main Street manager, the man, the myth, the legend. I don't know if we've actually officially introduced the people up in the Greater Thumb area to James Tiberius Ault yet.
I don't know. I was here last week, but I don't know where you were, when you were.
I don't think you were part of
what we were. Who knows?
Jim Ault, ladies and gentlemen, but mostly the ladies.
We got to get these jokes in while we can because he's getting married in like 3 months.
Yeah.
He's going to be so disappointed when we actually finally have to officially retire the Jim Ault's love pad bit. Poor guy.
Here's the Lapeer Main Street manager, Jim Ault.
So what's the good word, sir?
Not too much. Wrapping up my day. Productive. Got a few things taken care of. Working on doing some planning for some upcoming events. And then I figured I'd pop over here and see what you guys are doing on.
I'm surprised you have any downtime, considering Mondays is classic car cruise.
Yeah.
Then Thursdays you have concerts in the pocket park.
Fridays are bike night.
Yep. Well, bike night, to be fair, is not my event, but
and then you've still got Porch Fest coming up too.
Porch Fest coming up. Yeah, I was actually just putting together the list of bands that we have so far. You want like the inside scoop on who they are?
Yes. Of course.
I think Sean Cantwell plays bass for every one of these.
That's probably accurate.
Yeah, it's a Deb Barber band.
So
why not both?
Yeah. Right. So we've got, in no particular order, this isn't the schedule, this is just who we have confirmed so far. We've got Sonic Honey, we've got the Rock Dogs, we've got Jeff Gunther, he's a fiddle player.
Okay, cool.
We've got Spirit Drumming, we've got Barbed Wire,
didn't they play last night's...
They were supposed to.
Rained out, so they're rescheduled for August.
Okay. Yeah,
August 10th, I believe.
Yeah. We have Mr. J and the Warriors, Adam Gentry, Pete Falco, Just Dawn, Matt Davis, 3-Zip, Local, previously known as Grey Tuesday, Heat Above, Deflowered Band, Chris Eilerson, and Coleman Road.
I'm looking forward to maybe I'll have to actually, if I'm in town that weekend, check out Heat Above. Like you wandered down when they were playing last Thursday summer concert series. Yep. They're quite a fantastic band.
They are. Yeah. They're very tight. Yeah. Good vocals, good with the crowd, and good surprisingly originals. Great originals. I play quite a bit of them on my show.
Yeah, I think I saw that they were just Central Time Zone somewhere, Chicago area, yep. like competing and winning yep. in several different competitions. So, yeah, kudos to them.
Nice. Very cool. When is Porch Fest going down again, James?
July 15th. So we'll have at least 14 porches, at least 18 bands, more yet to come. So it's going to be a good time.
So explain to people who've never been to Porch Fest, what is Porch Fest?
So probably actually the closest example, and some of your listeners might be familiar with, is Port Austin.
Okay,
does this. But the idea is you essentially use residential commercial porches and turn them into stages. So it literally takes place throughout the community with some of them might be a solo act, some of them might be bands, but residential, commercial, kind of surrounding Lapeer, and then you just kind of spend the day walking from property to property and enjoying music. All different styles, all different genres, all different ages. It's just a good time.
And the cool thing is they don't tell the owner of the property that there's going to be a band set up. It's just to show up.
They just show up. What's going on? Yeah. No. We do give them the heads up.
But. I was going to mow the lawn today, but some band just showed up and started playing on my lawn.
That's right. It's really a surprise when they find out they're the ones that have to pay the band. Yeah.
We've been knocking on the door for like 2 hours. They're not answering.
So you had mentioned that you're still there's still more bands and locations and whatnot to be announced. Yep. Are you still looking, like actively soliciting submissions for either of those? And if so, how can they get in contact with you to do so?
So I'm not going to answer that because I don't know.
Okay.
So we have a committee for all of our events. Each event that we have has a committee in place that goes out there, essentially does all the dirty work as far as lining up logistics, things like that, getting sponsors. I just kind of help pull it all together and coordinate. So they are out there talking with bands. I know other bands have reached out with them. So I don't want to say, yes, we are still looking for bands. Meanwhile, they've already secured a few bands for us or more bands for us. So
that seems fair.
Yeah.
There is a Facebook page.
Yep.
Look for Porch Fest Lapeer. I'm sure they're going to have a map here very soon. They did last year, a map yes. of everything going on. So get a little bit organized. Check out the acts that you want to see and support downtown Lapeer.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like what we did last year is I just drove around in a golf cart all day and just listened to the music. I didn't know what I was coming to as far as like what style of music they sure. performed. It didn't matter. It was all just fun and upbeat and just a really cool day.
Cool.
Good stuff. Looking forward to that. What other cool events and things you got coming up this summer that you can actually tell us about this time, James?
Well, Adam kind of touched base on our Monday night car cruise every Monday, 6 to 9. We have our car cruise downtown. Summer concert series every Thursday now through mid-August. Next week, we have Exit 155.
Oh, God, that is next week,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, you should know. Taking the stage, doing some like blues, rock, a little bit of everything.
Yeah, that's a pretty yeah. accurate description
and
of it.
And then we wind out June or end June with the Genesee Valley Concert Band. They do a variety of like patriotic hits, percussion, symphony type stuff.
Cool.
And then we have Porch Fest in July. In August, Lapeer Days takes place. So DDA kind of takes some time off. We don't really do too much in August. September... we hope to be bringing back our Harvest Festival and Grilled Cheese Festival. It's going to be a busy day down here. Tilted Access does their Oktoberfest. Vinyl Bar and Grill is doing a Jeep Night. We bring the Farmers Market up to Nepissing Street. We have vendors, shopping, the works. You know, everything you'd want in a fall Harvest Festival type event.
Very cool.
And then we get into October. The Optimists bring Nightmare on Nepissing Street down here. And then we have our treat walk for the kids. November, we have a ladies' night. December, we have a Winterfest celebration. So, I mean, really, all summer and fall long, there's really cool stuff going on down here.
Always something cool going yes. on downtown Lapeer, that's
now
for
you,
sure.
you got to do something cool. You got to see Raiders of the Lost Ark on the big screen.
Pix Theater's
bringing some classic movies to the theater.
They are. In fact, they've got Singing in the Rain coming up next weekend, next Saturday.
I believe it's on a Wednesday.
Next Wednesday, yeah. They're doing two shows. You're correct. It is Wednesday. It's two shows, 2:30 and 7:30.
I was hoping because, 2:30 was like, that's a little early.
yeah. Well, but if somebody's retired or is on vacation, whatever it might be, they can come in and check out a matinee.
I've never seen the movie, so I'm gonna check it out.
Cool. Yep. I think tomorrow night their youth theater program is doing an improv show.
Comedy improv, yep.
So, yeah. And then there's a reception there tonight for their current gallery exhibit, which is a community-based art show.
Very cool.
Yeah. So, yeah. All kinds of things.
Good.
I think across the street, Stone Throw Theater, they're getting ready for their youth art camp. And then the Art Association has a pretty cool exhibit going on called QR Show, which... Every piece of art in the exhibit has a QR code attached to it that will link you to a song that is either inspired by or inspired the piece of artwork that's on the wall.
That's awesome. Yeah. Always something good happening in downtown De Pere.
That there certainly is. Jimothy, always a pleasure to have you grace us with your presence. Stick around. It is happy hour.
When you want to unwind, Cascaden Lounge in Metamora has everything you need. Hot food, cold drinks, keno, 6 pool tables, pinball, darts, air hockey. For the musicians, every Thursday night is open mic night. Then on the weekends, Cascadens has the best bands around lighting up their stage. Cascaden Lounge is located at 4099 South Lapeer Road in Metamora. Give them a call at 810-678-2116. That's 810-678-2116. You deserve to relax, and now you know the place. Cascaden Lounge.
It is happy hour. He's Adam Hairhug. I'm Sean Cantwell. And the Antonio Brown saga continues to get stupider and stupider. And this latest tale, yes, again, it's happening. And this time, I don't know if you've been following any of this, but he's apparently now, well, he was until today, the owner of an Arena Football League team.
Was he really?
He was.
He kept that under wraps, which was, a little not Antonio Brown-esque.
No, it really wasn't. He was the owner of a team called the Albany Empire in the National Arena League. Well, I say was because today the league voted to kick him out. They unanimously voted to terminate the team from the league, quote, after exhausting all avenues.
Got rid of the whole team.
The entire team.
Oh, wow.
Just donezo.
Okay.
The league says the Empire didn't pay their league-mandated and overdue assessments, as each team is responsible for a seventh of the league budget. Brown was also personally fined $1,000 for, quote, conduct detrimental to the league for his recent public comments, a fine which Brown did not pay. The league says Brown paid the team's April assessment but didn't pay its May assessment, and the April one was being challenged. After it was realized that Brown didn't intend to pay the assessment or fine, an emergency conference call was set up. The league gave the Empire until noon Thursday to make a payment. After the deadline passed, the Empire were voted out of the league. Brown said Wednesday they would be leaving the NAL, and he wanted to join the Arena Football League. And it's really quite amazing because he had this rambling interview with a sports reporter from one of the TV stations in Albany, and he had said that not only was he planning to play for his team on Saturday, but basically was referring to himself in the third person and that AB is a separate person somehow. He references the stories about the former players who complained about lack of payment, adding he still has yet to talk to AB and that he, Antonio Brown, hopes to be paid. What? What?
Wow.
This is actually happening. He's saying that, we're going to be moving to the AFL, the Arena Football League that people have actually heard of.
Yeah.
That he was in action at practice and is acting like Antonio Brown isn't AB somehow. Antonio Brown the player and Antonio Brown the owner of the team, while they're the same person, are also somehow not the same person?
Is it kind of like with Star Trek when they had evil Spock? It was just Spock with a goatee?
Basically. Except I think even, AB and Evil AB both have a little bit of a goatee. Yeah. So ABC10 asked AB why fans should believe he'll play this weekend, and I'm confused by this. Brown said AB and Antonio Brown were different people, and that while AB, Salvage Football in Albany, is an owner, the fans haven't shown enough support for the team. Meanwhile, Antonio Brown, the player, will be playing Saturday. Quote, the fans should believe that AB saved Albany Empire football. You guys wouldn't have football if it wasn't for AB. Antonio Brown's here at practice. He's taking all the proper procedures to play. I wasn't in the best shape today, but I'm still that playmaker. Okay, so is AB just an alternate personality then?
The guy has some mental issues, and we have seen that when he was running off, he was dancing off the field, quit mid-game, took his gear off when they were playing against, I believe, the Jets. He was playing for the Bucks, and it was just all about, hey, look at me moment. The guy is just chocked full of drama, and now he's bringing it over here. And this guy probably does believe that he has multiple personalities. One is the owner of the team, the one is the player. He thinks we're stupid.
What's sad is he probably does entirely believe all of this. Like, you hate to say it, but I mean, he's taken some pretty big hits in his career. You kind of wonder if we're seeing what's going to end up being CTE at the end of all this.
That is a very real thing. They're finding so much more about CTE.
And it seems like ever since that big hit he took from Vontaze Burfict, he hasn't been the same guy. The behavior's gotten weirder.
Yep.
He's now where he's referring to himself, the player in the third person, as well as the owner of the team being a separate individual. This is getting scary, man. Like, I mean, not that it already wasn't, because there's already been many questionable incidences with him and legal trouble and everything else, but
I want to be outside the office when they renegotiate Antonio Brown's contract. A lot of screaming, a lot of furniture being thrown around, a lot of yelling, and it's just him in the office.
Yeah, honestly, it feels like that's very much the case. We got to hit a break, though. Stick around. ABC News at the top of the hour. Nick Lean's got your local news coming up after that on WMIC Sandusky and W237 EQ 95.3 FM Sandusky. Stick around. It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. And it's once again time for our favorite segment of the week, Sean and Adam's Unsolicited Advice, where real people with real problems send real questions to real advice columnists. Unfortunately for them, we get our hands on them, we intercept them, and I think we give better advice than the actual people who get paid to do this.
Oh, absolutely.
So, with that in mind, let's dive right into this, shall we?
Sure, let's do it.
Dear somebody who cares, Jenny and I were high school sweethearts who got married at 20. We got divorced at 25 because we figured out who we were and who we weren't. We remain friendly, especially since our families have been joined at the hip since our grandparents' days. Jenny and I both moved on to other marriages, and since then, I got divorced and have two kids. Jenny lost her husband to cancer. It's fairly brutal, and she and my mother grew close since my dad and baby sister died of it as well. More recently, Alice and I have been getting serious, but she's been balking at taking the next step. She has no problem with me seeing my son's mother socially because we co-parent, but she is fixated on how weird it is that Jenny is still so involved with my family. I've explained it till I'm blue in the face. Jenny is basically family. We grew up together. Our families are very close, and the tragedies bonded them even closer. But Jenny and I have been divorced for over 20 years. I don't see Jenny socially since we live in a different city. We're friends on Facebook. I love Alice, but this fixation on the past is a huge hurdle for us. What do I do here? I can't exactly tell my mother not to speak to her best friend's daughter ever again because the woman I want to marry has a hang-up about it.
Exactly. I mean, all you can really do is just be open and honest with, you said Alice, is that her?
Yes.
Be open and honest with Alice, just like you've been doing, and then hopefully she calms down about it. Maybe as time progresses, she see that this Jennifer is not a threat.
I guess where I kind of come down on it is, okay, if you manage to get her over this or be okay with it, that's one thing, but I don't feel like this is going to be the last time you're going to have to deal with this. Like, she already strikes me as the jealous type that, oh, there's a woman who dated you who is still involved in your family's life.
Yeah.
Even though it's, you know, mother of your kid or whatever. Or was she the mother of the kid?
She's jealous of two different women. It's Jennifer, the first wife.
Yeah, Jenny's the first wife.
And then the kid.
And then she got divorced.
Mama. Yep.
And then it is kind of, I feel like it's an issue that's going to come up more often from here on out. Like,
yep.
when someone's, like, got that jealous streak about them, it's not usually going to be just a one-time thing.
No, but it can get better as time progresses.
It can, but is it likely to? And do you really want to take that chance? Okay, now you're married, and she's still being weird about every time you go, you know, go and have you have a work colleague that she's gonna find your. Oh, you're going off to have a meeting with her, huh? Like,
yeah.
Where does it end? Do we get to the point where you can't even go have a woman cut your hair because it's going to turn into an issue?
Well, I definitely don't think he should marry this woman if she has the hang-ups. But
absolutely not.
I mean, be open and honest with her and say, listen, Jennifer, my first wife, is still in our lives. My baby mama is always going to be in my life because we're co-parenting. That's just the way it is. I respect you. I know that you have some hang-ups on here, but it's just they're going to have to subside. They're going to have to get better because nothing's going to change. Nothing is going to change.
Right. And she has to know that, like, she's a family friend. She has been for our entire lives, basically. That's not going to change. We don't even live in the same city at this point. It's not like I really hang out with her or anything, but if this is going to be a hang up for you, then maybe this isn't going to work.
Yeah. I mean, it sucks because he sounds like he's really fallen for this woman. So, but I mean, you're only going to make things worse for yourself if she can't get over it.
And if she can't get over it, then the relationship's done.
Yeah, I agree.
It has to be. Otherwise, it's just be nothing but fighting and resentment and a bunch of stuff that you really don't want to deal with. Let's dive into one more of these, shall we?
Sure.
Dear, oh God, not those two. I have been dating a truly wonderful man for about 6 months. We communicate really well and have a strong relationship, so much so that people often remark that it seems like we've been together for much longer than half a year. We've had a few hardships like illness that we've worked through together and have come out stronger afterward. But here's the problem. He doesn't know why he loves me. I've spoken with him at length about why I love him, all his lovely qualities and the way he makes me feel. I believe it when he says he loves me, but when I asked him to tell me why, he said, "I don't have an answer for you." He's totally articulate and can talk about our relationship for hours at a time, so the issue isn't that he's at a loss for words. He's also expressed that he doesn't love me the same way I love him, that if we ever broke up, he thinks he'd be able to move on without being devastated. Is his inability to express why he loves me a red flag, or are there simply many ways of loving a person and not knowing the reason why is completely valid?
The latter. I mean, you have to understand that some people, especially a lot of men, aren't really in tune with their feelings. So he does feel like he loves you, but he can't. He can't put it into words.
Yeah, it sounds like you're spending way too much time thinking about, you know, talking about the relationship, and not enough time just being happy with what you got and where you're at.
Exactly.
Like you seem to have a good thing going for you. You say he's this wonderful guy and he does all this stuff for you, and you know that you love everything about him. And like the one issue is that he can't explain why he loves you. Like
that, yeah.
You're not going to be satisfied with the answer you get at this point. And it's just probably making him like even more reluctant to have this discussion. I don't think whatever answer you get, it's not going to be worth what you're potentially doing to ruin your relationship right now.
Yes. You're trying to force him to feel and act just like you, and that's not a good relationship. You have to respect each other's individualities.
You absolutely have to, or else it's not going to work.
Or what you do is just dump him, plan on taking him back, but don't tell him that. It's like, oh, you know what? I'm out of here. I found somebody else. And then let him stew in his juices for a couple of days and then come back to him, you know. And then maybe then, after he felt like he loses you, that he can actually put it into words. You know, force him.
No, that's a terrible idea. Don't do that.
What you do is you get your friend to go up and say, I hate to tell you this, but she died. And then,
oh, come on.
And then you get everybody involved, and you wait for the funeral, and then you pop out of the casket. Aha! I bet you love me now, don't you?
Or want to get a restraining order against you, one of the two.
I got you. Look at your face. Wake him up.
Wait, what? Wait until he gives it. Oh, there's the heart. You weren't able to give me that heartfelt speech while I was alive.
Yeah, I miss you, baby. I'm so sorry you're dead in that casket. Well, I got news for you. Ah, demon! Ah!
I don't think you're going to get the answer you're looking for by doing that either, more than likely.
And right before you open up the casket, you have the music, Pop Goes a Weasel.
You would do that, too. And that's a horrible idea. No, but seriously, quit overanalyzing the relationship. Like, that's that. If I could just tell you one thing, quit overthinking it. And just be in the damn relationship and be happy with it. You seem happy with it. Quit trying to overanalyze and worry about it, because getting in your own head isn't going to make it any better.
There you go.
If anything, it's probably going to make it markedly worse.
Absolutely.
I think we might have time for one more. Let's do this.
All right.
Dear, does anyone actually still read these? My best girlfriend and I have been friends for over 40 years.
My best girlfriend, so he's got like a couple.
I recently began dating her high school sweetheart, who she dated 43 years ago when we were all in high school together. She's very hurt and does not want to continue a friendship with me. She's managed to get our other friends on her side, and now they're all against me. I am no longer dating this gentleman, but apparently the damage has been done. I am tempted to tell her how immature she is, but don't want to alienate her anymore.
All right, so the writer is a woman. She's got a female friend, and she started dating their female friend's family member?
No. So these two women are like in their 50s, 60s, something, and the one started dating her friend's high school boyfriend.
Oh, from way back in high school?
From 43 years ago.
Oh, wow. Talk about keeping a flame.
Right? This seems stupid. Like,
yeah.
I've never been big on the whole idea that, okay, someone else has dated somebody that you know, therefore they are off limits forever, ever, ever. 40 years seems a bit excessive.
Yeah, 40 years, there's a statute of limitations, I am sure.
Like, I will say that telling her how immature she is isn't going to fix the situation. Like, if anything, it's going to make her hate you more, probably. But no. At this point, I don't know what you... What can you really do here? Like, is there any repairing the relationship? Like, I don't feel like you necessarily... I'm sorry I dated this guy that, you know, I would think you would have been over 4 decades later.
I still love him. 4 years ago, I still can't listen to Tears for Fears or Aha without tearing up, because it reminds me of him.
I mean... This is your supposed best friend, though. Like, I feel like you would probably know that this would be an issue. So, I mean, that's kind of on you, but also kind of on her for, like, seriously carrying a flame for a dude that clearly she has not made any moves towards since. They haven't dated in, like, more than, you know, a lifetime ago, damn near.
Right.
Like, she needs to get over it, but I don't think you doubling down and like, you're so immature is going to help the situation, Annie. Also, you're no longer even dating him. Like, seriously?
Yeah. I would just, you know, let that one lie still.
Yeah, I would say so. I don't see it as being the big deal-breaking thing that apparently, you know, friend does. I mean, can you imagine, like... A buddy of yours dates a girl that you were with in high school. Uh-huh. Like, at that point, and we're now talking, you know, 30 years removed from high school for you. Would you, like, be upset with them that, like, they didn't ask your permission or stay away from them or whatever?
No, of course not. No, I mean...
Like, I guess what's your policy as far as, like, a friend of yours wants to go date an ex? Like, where do you draw the line?
Well, there's a few... It's not written rules. It's just my own rules. It's like, you know, I would never date somebody who was in a relationship with my brother, you know.
Yeah, that would be kind of weird.
I have dated somebody. Well, like when Drew and his girlfriend broke up, I know her and I always kind of had crushes on each other. So before I asked her out, I took him out to breakfast and asked his permission, kind of his blessing. And he said, okay, sure.
Yeah,
and
permission seems a bit odd, but I
guess blessing is more the thing. But then it turned out that, you know, she and I got along, and we moved in together, got engaged, and it didn't work out. But, I mean, still, I mean. But, yeah, there's certain things I'll do, but there's certain things that are off limits. I think 40 years...
should be enough time.
Oh, plenty of time.
Like, that should be enough time for her to build a bridge and get over it, you think?
I would hope so.
Like, I've not had the situation come up. Like, I've not dated someone who was one of my, who was an ex of one of my friends, but it always, I feel like it depends on the situation, on the time frame, how long in the past are we talking, has she gotten, you know, have they gotten married and gotten over it? Are they still somehow carrying a flame for however many years later? But 43 years seems a little bit excessive.
I mean, there is another situation. It doesn't pertain to this, to what we've been talking about, or to this letter. Mm-hmm. But there are situations where I have heard where somebody wants to date an ex after that ex had, like, physically abused them, the friend and stuff like that. You know, let's bring it back to this original. What if 40 years ago, the reason why they broke up 40 years ago was because he used to beat her? Or
you
something.
Know, that would certainly be a reason not to do that, to keep that person out of your life forever.
Yeah, because, I mean, here is somebody who is pretty much a villain in your life, and your friend wants to date them, and, you know, you're worried about them bringing them around.
Right. Yeah. In this case, it sounds like I don't see that necessarily being the case, that's why they're not together.
If that was, then the writer should have been in the letter. He used to smack her around.
Yeah, like, I don't know if he you know, I would like to think that, you know, that's your best friend, that conversation probably has happened, but I guess that there's no guarantee on that.
Right, right.
So, kind of hard to say, but certainly on the outset, just looking at it from the outside here, I'd say 43 years should be more than enough time to get over your high school sweetheart.
Exactly.
We're going to hit a break. John McMurray's got your weather forecast coming up next. It is happy hour on WMIC, AM 660 and FM 95.3. Stick around. Happy hour. He is Adam Harahuck. I am Sean Cantwell. I hear Adam has a list, and it may or may not be trash.
Oh, it is definitely not trash. It's more of a trivia list, quite frankly.
Okay.
Yes.
You like doing these lately, and I'm entirely fine with that.
Well, we have to shake it up. I'm trying to think of lists. Like, last Friday, we did a list with Drew, famous birds. I'm like, I think that was like the third time we put like cartoon birds on the
we've done a lot of cartoon lists, that's for sure. and a lot of them seem to revolve around cartoon waterfowl and cereal mascots. Sometimes both.
Very much so. So I have a list. I'm going to give you the person's name, and you tell me what musician name they go by.
Okay. I feel like I should know these pretty well, because, like, we are certainly both musical sort.
Sure. So, but, I mean, what gets really rough is there's a lot of them in here that are like hip hop and pop music. So
this may be a bit tricky then.
Yes. We start with Alicia Moore.
Alicia Moore.
Yes.
I believe, and let me make sure I have my drops up and all the good stuff here.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure that's Pink, isn't it?
That is Pink. Yes. Yes. So far, you're one for one. You want to quit while you're ahead?
Sure. It's happy hours.
Good night, everybody.
See ya.
Cornell Haynes Jr.
That would be Nelly.
That is Nelly. Elizabeth Woodridge Grant. We play her music on the station.
Give me that name again.
Elizabeth Woodridge Grant.
We play her music on this station?
Yep.
On your show, or as a general? Well, on Solid State as a general?
On Solid State Radio, yep.
Guess we should point that out, because pretty sure they don't play her on WMIC.
I guess I should specify, yeah.
Right. Mm.
She goes by there's three words in her name.
Three words in her name.
Yes.
Hmm. I should know this then. And I'm really disappointed in myself that I don't.
Her initials are LDR.
Lana Del Rey?
Yes. Nicely done. John Roger Stevens.
John Roger Stevens.
Sounds like an author.
Right? It kind of does, doesn't it? Hmm. I'm drawing a blank on this one, too.
Piano player.
Billy Joel?
Nope. The first name is, he goes by the first name, but the last name's changed.
He goes by the first name. John Legend.
John Legend, yes. Yes. How about Stacy Ann Ferguson?
That's Fergie, isn't it?
Yes, it is. How about Katherine Hudson? She changed it to avoid...
Katy Perry.
Yes, she changed it to avoid confusion with Kate Hudson, the actor.
Stands to reason.
Wow, okay. Tanitra Michelle Williams.
Tanitra Michelle Williams.
Yes.
Hmm. Ooh, I don't know. This is a tough one.
I think she was in Destiny's Child.
So just Michelle Williams then?
Yes. There you go.
That was my initial thought, but no, they wouldn't put something out that obvious. It's literally just two of those same three names.
How about Calendria Trene Rowland?
Kelly Rowland?
Kelly Rowland. There you go. Christopher Bro. B-R-E-A-U-X.
Hmm.
Christopher Bro.
Don't call me Bro.
Bro.
Ah. Hmm. I must admit, you got me perplexed on this one here, Huck. You have a hint or something you can throw out here?
Man. I'm trying to think.
What's not going to give it away?
Initials are F-O.
F-O. Hmm. What genre of music?
I want to say soul R&B.
Okay.
But I'm not too familiar with this guy.
I'm not either.
Let me see. Songs Pink and White.
Never heard it.
Thinking About You.
Nothing. It's ringing a bell here, man.
Frank Ocean.
Frank Ocean.
Yeah.
Okay, I at least know who Frank Ocean is, but I also couldn't name you a single song of his.
Every time I see his name, I think Billy Ocean. Caribbean Queen.
Like, okay. I see that.
I don't know if they're related, but...
I'm guessing not.
How about Alicia Aguello Cook?
Alicia Keys?
Alicia Keys. All right. Jason Derulo. Derulo. Jason Desrulo is a French word.
Jason Derulo.
That's right.
It's basically the same name, yep. And pronounced the exact same, I think, ultimately.
Yep.
What's Jason Derulo's real name? Jason Derulo.
Duh.
God.
How about...
Now you're just messing with me.
This guy is, in hip-hop, Jonathan Smith.
Jonathan Smith.
Yep. Mm.
I should know this, probably, but I
don't.
Even
though he's a big name in hip-hop... A lot of people consider him to be Lil.
Hmm. Okay.
What?
Which Lil, though? There's so many. I know it's not Lil Wayne.
Okay.
Lil Jon.
Yeah, there we go.
I guess that kind of stands to reason, doesn't it?
How about Enrique Martin Morales?
Give me that again.
Enrique Martin Morales.
My first guess would be Enrique Iglesias, but I don't think that's who it is.
Nope.
That's probably an actual name. No idea.
Ricky Martin.
Oh.
Enrique Martin Morales.
Ah, God, I should have. What is wrong with me?
Here's a real tough one. Kendrick Lamar Duckworth.
Hmm. Can't imagine. No idea.
I don't know why he got rid of Duckworth. That's right? Nicest print money right there. How about Calvin Brodeus? Brodus.
It's Jr. Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg. Snoop Lion.
Snoop
whatever.
Doggy Dog. Yeah.
Any and all of the above.
Right. Christopher Brian Bridges.
Christopher Brian Bridges. I feel like I should know this one.
Yes.
I feel like this one should be somewhat familiar.
Rapper, now more of an action.
Ludacris.
Ludacris. There it is. There it is. Good job. Armando Christian Perez.
I have no idea, but I'm going to guess Pitbull because it just sounds right.
Yes. Wow.
Was it really? Really?
Wow.
So remind the people, if you're just tuning in, what list I'm being subjected to this week.
A list of people, famous people, and their original names.
Their actual birth names, not their stage names. Yeah. I have to guess the stage name. Yeah. Yes. I didn't honestly know that one. That was just a guess out of completely thin air.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You got that one. How about Amethyst Amelia Kelly?
Amethyst Amelia Kelly.
I think we play her on the show.
On
which was weird because Amethyst Amelia Kelly is a cool name, but
right? That's a pretty awesome name, all things considered. Yeah. Why would you not keep that name, really?
Songs Problem, Black Widow, Cream, Team, Fancy, Go Hard or Go Home, Sip It.
I don't know that we play this person on Salad State.
Maybe not. Iggy Azalea.
We definitely don't.
Okay.
Because she's like more like hip hop, and that is pop and hip hop, and those are really not two places that either station this show has carried on really cross into.
How about Curtis James Jackson III?
That would be 50 Cent.
50 Cent. That's right. You know he's been shot 9 times?
You know he can't throw a baseball to save his life?
If he was trying to go for the first baseman, he did a great job.
That is true. Yeah. That still has to go down as like one of the worst first pitches in the history of
ever.
First pitches, really? Because I mean, you expect like some people who come up there, like whether it's someone older or someone who's not really like particularly athletic or something, you would expect that they wouldn't be particularly good at at nailing that first pitch, but 50 Cent's kind of jacked, man. Like dude like that can like aim with some coherency at home plate, and honestly, that just makes it better to me.
How about Joel Thomas Zimmerman?
Oh, Joel Thomas Zimmerman.
Part of the whole EDM craze.
Oh, Deadmau5?
Deadmau5, or Deadmau5, I guess.
It's pronounced Deadmau5. It's okay.
I know it.
You might not know that. I don't know how much EDM you listen to. I
thought Tupac Shakur was a Jewish holiday. Sonny John Moore.
That would be Skrillex.
Yes.
Or Sonny Moore from what was his old band, From First to Last.
Okay.
He was a hardcore guy before he started just making dial-up noises professionally. Guess I gotta apologize to Skrillex.
Yeah, I like that song. It's danceable. How about Ella Yellick O'Connor?
That I know we actually play on Solid State. That would be Lord.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Nevadius DeMunn Wilburn. One word name. He goes by one word name.
Give me that name one more time.
Nevadius DeMunn Wilburn.
Ooh, that's a tough one. I don't know if I've ever heard this name before.
You've heard it in the past. You've definitely heard it in the present. But his name is...
Future?
Future, there we go. See?
Yeah, Future is a rapper I know exists, but I don't know a single song of his. I couldn't pick him out of a police lineup.
How about Peter Gene Hernandez?
Peter Gene Hernandez.
He's named after half of the members at KISS.
Right?
Peter Gene Hernandez.
I should probably know this. Like, this is a name I've actually heard before, but I'm drawing a blank on it.
Couldn't really run from this guy for a while there. Now he's kind of like not in everybody's mouths again. Thank God. He was a Super Bowl halftime show maybe about 6 years ago.
Bruno Mars?
Bruno Mars.
I don't have anything against Bruno Mars. No, he puts out entirely fine, competent music.
I like him. How about Charlotte Emma Atchison? Charlotte Emma Atchison. We're asking you to tell us her stage name.
Oh, I don't know. Might need to help me out with this one, bud.
Charlie,
another pop star that I know absolutely nothing about.
Charlie XCX.
Sure, we'll go with that.
Sure.
Again, couldn't name you a single thing they've done.
How about Ben Haggerty?
This one I feel like I should know.
Yes.
And I don't. I need one more hint from you on this, I think.
One word name. Starts with an M.
Starts with an M.
Yes.
Why don't I know this?
I'm not sure. I have no idea what you don't know. If I knew what you knew, what you didn't know, I would be able to tell you.
That's fair. Who is it, or do you have a hint for me? Well, you already gave me a hint, I guess. Starts with, one word starts with M.
Yep.
And someone's probably screaming it at their radio right now.
Let me see if I can give you song titles. I mean, because that's helped out so well in the past.
Well, sometimes it does.
Can't Hold Us, Thrift Shop.
Oh, okay. Macklemore.
Yes. Now there's...
My wife is probably screaming at the radio right now because she loves Macklemore. She's like, how do you not know this? Like, she's probably like getting the divorce papers ready for me to serve me when I get home.
How about... guys, I didn't know these
you
guys
You think
were,
I'm kidding.
I didn't know these guys were brothers. Stephen Gordy and Skylar Gordy.
Oh, LMFAO?
Yes.
Because they're related to Barry Gordy, I believe. Like it's his,
are they really?
Yeah, because I believe it one's his nephew and then, or rather maybe their nephew and uncle, the two in that band, in that group, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, but I believe they are actually related to Barry Gordy of Motown Records. I think it's kind of how they got themselves a record deal. Probably got time for like one more of these.
All right. Madonna, Louise, Vercona, Veronica, Caccione.
You probably didn't even need to say the rest of the words. Madonna.
Madonna. Very nicely done.
Although it was almost worth it just to have you try and pronounce
Louise,
that.
Veronica. And I don't know where I got Vercone, but Madonna, Louise, Veronica, Caccione.
We knew who you were talking about, though, with or without a fake English accent.
That's right.
I feel like I didn't do too terribly
on
this.
No, you did a really good job. You did a really, really nice job.
I'll go ahead and take my victory lap.
Yeah, nicely done.
Thank you, sir. It is happy hour. Stick around. Will, I'm sure if we haven't offended you yet, we probably will in the next segment. So stick around. Happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. Adam's over here opening up some goodies from our good friend at Plastic Planet here in the Lyric Mall in lovely downtown Lapeer, where we do this fine program from.
Yeah, he's always popping his head into our studio and giving us he finds these trading cards that haven't been opened. Like, he gave us like a bunch of packs of hockey cards from 1990.
Yeah.
Opened it up and was checking it out. And lately, he's been giving us these classic toys trading cards. 7 cards per pack. The trading cards are a nostalgic look back at the most popular toys of the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Each card highlights classic toy favorites, monsters, rock and roll, space, westerns, TV-related action figures, dolls, cartoons, and superheroes. And I opened it up and some really cool ones.
This seems really just, by the way, the fact that we have like a set of trading cards dedicated to toys seems like the most meta thing I can possibly imagine.
Yeah, pretty much. But one of the first cards was the Darth Vader action figure, the 12-inch...
Is that the one that I got you for Christmas?
Yes.
The one that...
from Plastic Planet.
Yeah, he would always talk about, I had this Darth Vader toy as a kid. Like, he saw it at the store up here, and like you wanted this thing so damn bad. Like, you were about ready to go, like, no, I can't justify buying this.
Yeah, yeah.
So I showed up with it after an episode of Sessions one day, and... It was funny because that night we tied one on here in studio. I may have had to drive your car home because mine was, I think I just got hit by another deer or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're driving all the way home, and you're just having so much fun with this toy. You're talking to me as the toy the whole way home, doing the voice and everything.
Are we going to Amy's to get a beer? I find your lack of whiskey disturbing.
Oh, trust me, there was no lack of whiskey that night.
That was a fun time.
Yes, it was.
But yeah, I gotta take this over to Tim here in a little bit after the show, and I gotta show him. Look what I got.
That is so cool, dude.
That is very cool.
Awesome.
Current value $200.
Oh wow.
But I'm sure that's in the box.
That's in the box, mint condition, you know, has never actually been touched by human hands.
Ever.
The box has only ever been handled with, you know, by some dude wearing a pair of white gloves, like, you know, like you're carrying the Stanley Cup or something.
Yeah, exactly.
I imagine that's the standard you probably have to be at to actually get that. But that's also from what, the 90s?
1978.
No, I mean this line of trading cards, 1993. So I imagine if anything, in the 30 years since then, it's probably gone up a couple dollars in value, I would guess.
I mean, that you might have gotten quite a steal for it for $40.
Oh, absolutely you did. But yeah, no, stop up and see him. Tim's got all sorts of like awesome stuff. Like if you're... I know, obviously, Adam's the biggest Star Wars fan and the biggest Kiss fan, possibly, that I know.
Oh, yeah.
So, and both of those are very well represented in this shop. He gets some interesting toys up there, too, because he had the Saturday Night Live action figures at one point?
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Which, they picked some odd characters for that line of toys. Like, the one he has up front is Nat X, Chris Rock's character from way back when, the talk show.
Yeah.
That's only 15 minutes because that's all the man would give him. and, like, I think we looked it up one time, and they did one for, was it Molly Shannon's cheerleader there? Mary Catherine Gallagher, and... Was it Jim Brewer's
Goat Boy? Yeah, something like that. I mean,
they didn't pick like the well-known, like, did they? Like, that seems like a blatant, like, obvious one for Jim Belushi, the samurai.
Yeah, right.
Like, or, how does that get left out? You know,
the only thing I can think of is he just didn't get a hold of him, or
they
couldn't secure the licensing for John Belushi.
Yeah,
Because I mean, yeah, action figures for Saturday Night Live, just Coneheads. My God,
right?
The Coneheads, the Bumblebees,
Blues Brothers, even
Blues Brothers. Yeah, I mean, so.
Eddie Murphy is Gumby, even?
Oh, my God. No, absolutely. I mean, instead they have, like, Father Guido Sarducci.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that one. Like, I feel like we're just a step above, like, the Roxbury guys.
Oh, yeah. I mean, an action figure of Wayne and Garth or the Church Lady, that'd be great.
Right? How does that not happen? Maybe there's something because those are tied up with actual, like, movies and whatnot.
Yeah, they're right. Yeah, you'd have to get the licensing through the movie company and... Yeah, that would be a pain in the ass.
A nightmare, I'm sure.
Yeah, you can have the Mary Catherine one, but you made a movie of that? No, trust me.
Trust me.
You can have it.
You can have Pat, too. No, we don't want Pat. Like, you're taking Pat, damn it.
I came part of the deal.
You're stuck with her. You have to.
Yep.
The intellectual property that absolutely nobody wanted.
Right.
Good Lord, we could throw away an entire show just on bad Saturday Night Live bits. I feel like we have done that at one point or another.
Oh, yeah, we've gone down that rabbit hole multiple times because it's just, I mean, here's a show that's been going on for close to 50 seasons.
We've got to be close to that, don't we? Yeah. Oh, my God, yeah, you're right.
Yep, they're going into four. Well, hopefully, if they figure out this writer's strike.
Still going on?
Yeah, I think so. They weren't able to end their
last season, yeah. They've got so much stuff going on with all that. I wasn't aware the writer's strike wasn't like over. Like I thought there had been some agreement made, but there was a big thing about the possible use of AI or whatever.
Oh, wow.
I remember that was one of the big sticking points was that they were they're trying to have some sort of regulation about when you can use AI, you know, writers or whatever, and not just like the dude who does the I forced a bot to watch 1,000 hours of this and whatever, but like actually, although like so far we've seen like the attempts to get, you know, to use quote unquote AI to generate content really haven't gone all that well, and you can tell that because this whole segment was generated by AI and clearly has just gone straight into the toilet, really.
Yes, exactly.
Happy hour. AI hasn't figured out how to replace this yet. Somehow. Who are we kidding? AI would probably get better ratings than we would. That would be our luck, wouldn't it?
Yeah, there's WMIC. Hey, you know what? That's a good idea. Let's get rid of these guys and get AI, Adam and Sean. Great.
Right. They probably drink a lot less. It's funny because it's true. Oh, we are about to that point in the week as we... as we attempt to close out the show and cleanse our souls, all that good stuff. Happy Hour would like to apologize to Elf, Aliens, guys named Doug, Emus, Lindsay Lohan, Amanda Seyfried, Kraken, Pawn Stars, Porn Stars, Barbie, People Who Vape, Jeep Owners, Lifted Pickup Truck Owners, guys who own lifted pickup trucks with trucker hats and sunglasses delivering the real news, 50 Cent and Skrillex, we're sorry! Solid list this week. I'd give it a...
I like it.
A B+, at least.
Absolutely.
Not bad. I think we're safe from going to hell for another week at least.
Yeah, we'll try harder next week.
Oh, we will try harder next week because we're going to be on the road next week. We're going to be somewhere in Sandusky at the Thumbfest, as a matter of fact.
Oh, that's right, yes.
The good people at WMIC, AM 660, and FM 95.3 are nice enough to invite us up to come join them and broadcast live and have all sorts of fun with them. I'm not entirely sure on the details yet. All I know is it'll be at this coming Friday's show, and that Adam and I will be there, and I'm sure by 8 o'clock we'll both need to be carted out of there in wheelbarrows or something.
Probably, something like that.
We'll give you all the pertinent information. I think we're bringing a band along with us, so that's really going to be fun.
Absolutely.
A live episode of Sessions. We'll work out all the details on that, and really, we'll get into it next week. There'll be we'll apprise you of the details on the Facebook page, facebook.com/happyhourssr. And I'm looking forward to getting out there and actually really meeting the good people of Sandusky that may or may not listen to our show, or at least hear us for 5 seconds and immediately change the channel.
There you go.
Should be a good time all the way around.
Rubbing elbows with the people in Sandlack Broadcasting.
It'll be good times. I'm pretty sure by about 6 o'clock, Eddie's just gonna be sitting there, just face directly in palm. What was I thinking? What was I thinking?
Oh no!
I knew we shouldn't have brought them actually to town. This was a bad decision. Anyway, we gotta go. Stick around though. ABC News at the top of the hour, then something else after that on WMIC AM and W237 EQ FM Sandusky. All being well, talk to you next week. See ya.